Well, a very good day to all of you listeners out there. This is our regular weekly radio program where we just talk about the principles of God and see how we can use those principles to align and connect with our kingdom purpose and the kingdom agenda of heaven. Hallelujah. Wonderful day today, and I'm sending you love and greetings from Pretoria, the capital of South Africa, where I reside. And today, the message that the Lord has dropped into my heart, imparted into my spirit, is the message that has to do with inquiring of the Lord. Inquiring of the Lord. This is an old message that I preached many, many years ago. I'm sure it's more than 15 years old. And it's a message that has proved to be particularly helpful in my life. And I wanted to be able to share some of those principles with you. And I pray that they'll also be helpful to you in your life as you listen to them and as you apply them. Principles of God will always be helpful. And so it's inquiring of the Lord. And I want to start off first by setting a foundation and saying that, you know, Yeshua told his disciples to pray. In fact, they asked him, how should we pray? And in responding to them, this is what Yeshua said. He gave them the Lord's Prayer, you know, and this is a prayer which many of us pray often, but we pray it religiously without applying our minds and understanding to the pattern that was being set in the prayer. It wasn't that we should pray the prayer and just recite it, but there's a pattern that we must pray, understanding who the Father is, who we're praying to, and what we're praying for. And in part, as part of the Lord's Prayer, one of the things he taught them, a very, very key and important principle, was contained in Matthew 6:10. And in that, it was talking about thy will be done. So, you know, we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So one of the key aspects is praying for his kingdom to come and also his will to be done. And that is for his will also to be done, not only in the nations, not only in the cities, but primarily and first most in our lives. So we must pray for his will to be done in our lives. And for us to be able to effectively pray for his will to be done in our lives, we have to constantly and consistently seek his face and inquire of him, what is his will? And that's why today we're talking about inquiring of the Lord, because when we inquire of the Lord, it enables us to know what his will for our lives, for our cities, for our families, for our nations, for our governments, it enables us to know what his will is. As I've said, this is a prayer I've prayed for decades, and literally, I do not believe I'm exaggerating when I say that this prayer has literally saved my life, inquiring of the Lord, knowing when to inquire. We have to consistently inquire of the Lord, and it has ensured also that I stay on the path, God's path. Hearing him and hearing his will for my life has ensured that I don't stray, I don't deviate from his path. So it's of, you know, vital importance that we inquire of the Lord. And there are many things that we need to inquire of the Lord over time and every day. You know, we need to inquire of the Lord many things, knowing what he wants concerning our ministry life, knowing what he wants, inquiring about of the Lord around our children, inquiring of the Lord around our relationships, inquiring of the Lord about so many things. And one of the things I've even learned, you know, as basic as it may seem very basic and very, you know, kind of not really complicated, but I inquire of the Lord. I've learned to inquire of the Lord almost pretty much everything, including even invitations. So if you invite me, it's not an automatic, yes, I'm coming, or yes, I'll do it. I've learned to pray over even invitations. And I've got to tell you, beloveds, I turn down many invitations that I receive. Some of the invitations look very, very, you know, big invitations with big people inviting you and all sorts of things. But I turn them down simply because God has not released me. And I've turned down many offers. I've turned down job offers. I've turned down many partnerships that people have offered me because the Lord told me that this is not a partnership you need to be in. Because remember, he taught us in 2 Corinthians 6:14 not to be unequally yoked. So when we are unequally yoked with people, who do not have the same value. And because the devil is an angel, he disguises himself as an angel of light. It's not going to be obvious what their value system is. So, even when it comes to invitations, I've turned down many invitations. And what we do not know and do not understand, the reason why some of us can maybe go for every offer that we're given, is we lack understanding that the enemy is actually behind many of these offers. It's not just God who gives you offers, but the enemy who disguises himself as an angel of light, who pretends to be a lion and he's not. The enemy will often disguise himself and he's behind many of these offers. And this is what happens. He does it to derail, to distract, to take us off of our destination path. Because when the devil cannot stop you, his plan B will always be to derail you or to delay you, or to take you off track. And he will do this by packaging what looks to be a very lucrative offer, attractive offer, and he'll package it very lucratively. And if you and I are not aware, we will think that, wow, this is actually, you know, this is the Lord, this is coming from God. So we have to be very, very careful. And he'll do that with ministry offers. He'll do that with job employment offers. He'll do that with even relationship offers and marriage offers. Some of us have been deceived to enter into wrong marriages because the marriage looked lucrative. It looked like this was the one. And that marriage, you know, just completely, almost completely destroyed us. And it was because we did not inquire of the Lord. So that was just to set a foundation around that. And I hope and I pray that by the end of this sharing, that you and I will begin to think very seriously about, do I really inquire of the Lord? Do I inquire of him around what partnerships to take, what initiatives to be a part of? Or do I just take everything that's offered to me because I want to be a part of everything and it looks great and it looks like, you know, I'm going to be branded in this. So we want to be careful of that. And very carefully, everything that is offered to us, regardless of what it is, let us begin to examine and inquire of the Lord. Because especially in this season, the enemy is really moving around as a roaring lion and trying to tempt us to get entangled. You know, there's a new word, a very word that's trending called entangled. So entanglement. So sometimes the enemy will want you to get caught up in an entanglement, which is very difficult to extricate oneself from. So I want us to talk about inquiring of the Lord. What does it entail? How do we do it? You know, why do we do it? What are the implications of not inquiring of the Lord? And in kickstarting this discussion, I want to talk about David, King David in the Bible, because King David often inquired of the Lord. And we're going to go through scriptures showing that, you know, it was pretty much a lifestyle for King David to inquire of the Lord. However, I also do want to say that he was not perfect in inquiring of the Lord. He slipped. He slipped once or twice. He slipped a few times. And if you go to 2 Samuel 11:3, we will read about one of those times when he kind of messed up and he didn't inquire of the Lord. And we'll just read that scripture and see, you know, how it turned out. So 2 Samuel 11:3 says, "So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?'" So here was an inquiry that David was making. It was not an inquiry to the Lord, and it was not an inquiry really that was, you know, that had anything to do with where or what David should have been doing. So David was inquiring after the woman, and he was inquiring from a person, a human being. He didn't inquire of the Lord, but he was inquiring to somebody else. It says, "And someone said," so David made it that inquiry to a someone. So I want to ask and challenge you, who are you inquiring from? Because who you inquire from is very, very important. Many of us, our first source of inquiry, we don't go to God to inquire. We don't go to him as the first point of inquiring. Many of us will go to the tabloids. Maybe many of us will go to the news first, you know, open the daily news and we inquire from the media, and yet there's so many fake news out there. So that's my question to you, is who are you inquiring from? And what you are inquiring about is important. You know, David was inquiring about a woman, but most often when he inquired of the Lord, he was inquiring and trying to get instructions around warfare, how to save his people, how to ensure that he wins the battle that God has placed before him. So who you inquire from, beloved, is very important, and what you inquire about is very important. So sometimes you can inquire from wrong sources, wrong people, and people will tell you things that are not true, and people will feed your flesh and carnality, and some will even tell you that maybe your assigned destiny helpers are jealous of you. They'll tell you things like that. That, oh, no, this person is not out for your good. They're jealous and they see you as a threat and they're intimidated by you. That's a prophetic word right there for somebody. That was by the Spirit of the Lord talking right now. So if you're out there and somebody has been trying to sever you from your destiny helper and tell you that that person is jealous of you, they're intimidated by your success, well, receive the word as a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. So David was inquiring, but who are you inquiring from? It's very important, because some of the people who will give you wrong information have been assigned by the enemy to make sure that they cut you off from destiny helpers, and they cut you off from people who have been assigned to actually help you in life. So who you inquire from is important. What you inquire about is important. And if you inquire about the wrong things, it can take you off track, like it did with David. He got on a Bathsheba track. And, you know, at that time, all the other men, the Bible tells us that all the other men were actually in war. So when you are supposed to be somewhere else, you may be busy inquiring about other things when you were supposed to have been assigned to be somewhere else and inquiring about something else. So yeah, be careful who you inquire from. Be careful what you inquire about, because honestly speaking, there are some things that you have no business inquiring about. So as we move on, whenever David inquired of the Lord, one of the things I noticed happen is that he always stayed out of trouble. So let me tell you, beloveds, when you inquire of the Lord and he gives you directions, which are from him, because it is also possible to hear that which is not from him. Many times we impose our own hearing because we want to hear something and we say the Lord said and it was not him. So when we inquire of him and we hear his instructions, then it will keep us out of trouble. It keeps you out of trouble. God will never lead you to a place where you'll be annihilated. You know, even if you get to a place where it's challenging, it may be challenging, but because God has led you there, he's already provided a way of escape, escaping the snare. He's already provided protection and provision for you in that time. So let's read 1 Samuel 23, verse 2. And it reads as follows. It says, therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. Save Keilah. So that's one instance we see where David inquired of the Lord, asking him, what should I do? Should I go and attack? God said, go and save Keilah. Again, about two verses down below again, 1 Samuel 23 in verse 4. Here we see David inquiring of the Lord again. And it says, then David inquired of the Lord once again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. Well, you know, beloved, some of us, we inquired of the Lord one time, maybe 30 years ago, 1990 or something was the last time we inquired of the Lord. And we think it's a one-stop exercise. No, inquiring of the Lord must be constant, must be consistent. Every day when we wake up, there must be some level of communicating with God. And when you have your morning devotions and prayers and evening at night, they must always include some aspect and element of inquiring of God, not just, you know, demanding what you want of him or bringing a grocery list of prayers. But let your morning devotion be a morning devotion where you inquire of the Lord. Lord, what would you have me do? Let's not enter into a presumptuous mode or presumptuous, area where we think we know already what God wants us to do. What he wants us to do for this day may be different from what he wanted us to do yesterday. So inquiring of the Lord is very important. Just having inquired of him 2 years ago or 6 months ago is not sufficient. Let it be a daily thing that we do as we speak to God in prayer, as we worship him. Let your worship and prayer include inquiring of the Lord and looking for his will for your life for that particular day. So again, we see another example of David inquiring of the Lord again in 1 Samuel 30, verse 8. And it says again, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So God answered David. He told him, go ahead, pursue. You will overtake them and you'll without fail recover all. So, and you know what happened? If you read the whole account, we know that that's exactly what happened. David did with his men. He did overtake them. He did recover without fail. They recovered all. And so when you inquire of the Lord and you hear him correctly and not hear what you want to hear, then you will definitely, fulfill what God said. When you inquire of him, you will do exactly what he said. And you will fulfill what he told you, the purpose. You know, God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should, actually regress against his word. So he does not fail to fulfill his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, and then we go to 2 Samuel 5, verse 19. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, here's another great example. Here's David inquiring. He said, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. And he did. And beloved, it's very important that when we inquire of the Lord and he speaks back to us, that we don't ignore what he said. That maybe, you know, sometimes you can inquire of the Lord and you may get a response that you do not particularly want. So when we inquire of the Lord, let's make sure that we're ready to obey him, to hear what he's saying and obey him. Don't just inquire of the Lord as a way of a formality, just to tick the box and say, well, I did ask him. And then when he responds, you don't follow up with what he told you to do. And we're going to look at another example because I just want you to see how constant and consistent David was in inquiring of the Lord. In 2 Samuel 5:23. Here's David again, once again. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, and he said, this is what God said. He said, this time you shall not go up. Circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. Now, remember in 2 Samuel 5:19, David had inquired of the Lord, asking them, shall I go up against the Philistines? And God said, yes, you go, and I will deliver them into your hand. 4 verses later, David is in a different situation, but he doesn't say, most of us would have said, oh, well, I just defeated the Philistines. I just took them out. And most of us would have just gone ahead with the same assumption that, well, I just took out the Philistines. God said to go up, so I'm still going to go up. David did not do that. New situation. He didn't assume that because last time God told me to, go up. He didn't assume that just because the last time, recent victory, just because I won the battle this way. He didn't assume that it's going to happen the same way. Some of us make that mistake, that because God led us to do something this way, that he's going to use the same way. No, it's important to keep inquiring of the Lord for different situations, different circumstances. God may give you a different plan. God may give you a different strategy. God may give you a different battle plan. You know, so it's important that we inquire of the Lord each time. And this time, God did not tell him, go up. This time God did not say to do what he did last time. He said, this time you shall not go up. But this time there's a different strategy. He said, circle around behind them and then come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. So this is why it's so important for us to inquire of the Lord, because God can give us different strategies. God can give us different plans of action. God can give us different battle plans. Sometimes God will even say, you don't go, you stay there. Let me fight the battle. Let me do it on your behalf. And he certainly did that sometimes in David's life, that, listen, you chill, you relax, chillax, stay here. I'm going to fight this one. You just sit down, sit back and take it easy. So it's so important, beloveds, that we inquire of the Lord. So whenever David checked in, like I said, he wasn't perfect. There were instances where he did inquire, but he didn't inquire of the Lord, and he was inquiring about the wrong things. But whenever he checked in with God first and inquired and got instructions, he always won. He always was positioned for victory. Victory comes when we inquire of the Lord, when we listen to what he has to say and hear what he has to say, and when we apply and implement his instructions. So inquiry of the Lord has many levels. It's not just about asking. It's about asking. It's about listening and hearing. Because do you know that it's possible to listen, but not hear? Many of us listen, but sometimes we don't hear. I see that sometimes, you know, you can talk to somebody and you can hear that they're listening to the words, but they're not hearing and understanding what you're saying. So when we inquire of the Lord, it means that we must listen, but it also means that we must hear what he is saying. And then after hearing comes understanding, and after understanding now comes implementation. May God help you and I to do that, to continuously and consistently inquire of the Lord over everything, over the ministry work we have to do, over our assignments, regarding our family, regarding our relationships. May God continuously and consistently get us into a culture and lifestyle. And may we also be disciplined, because God is not going to supernaturally hit you over the head to do it. But you yourself must conscientiously and consciously make that decision to control flesh, to subdue flesh, that even if your flesh would want to enter into that partnership, would want to enter into that relationship, even if your flesh is actually flattered by the fact that you've been asked to do something, we need to crucify that flesh long enough to ask God and to be able to inquire of him, to say, Lord, is this for me? Is this partnership, is this relationship for me? Or is this a trap? Is this to derail me and take me off of my original assignment that you have given me? So it's very important, beloveds, that we check in with God first, we get instructions, and we don't presume, and we don't move forward according to our flesh and fleshly desires. It's very important that we ask God, we inquire of him, what do we do? How do we do it? And when do we do it? Because those are all aspects of inquiring. So it's important to do that. Otherwise, we will learn the hard way. You know, 2 Kings 3 is the account of the three kings. And, you know, you can read that whole account of the three kings who were moving around. And, you know, the Bible tells us how they got lost in the wilderness. They started off on a journey, but in the course of that journey, they got lost. They needed water for their animals that they were traveling with, and that they were at a place where there was no water and they were lost. And you know why they got lost in the wilderness, in a desert place? Because from the beginning, from the outset, they failed to inquire of the Lord from the beginning. And it was only in 2 Kings 3:11 that one of the kings, Jehoshaphat, now thought of that, listen, we've been lost for a long time, guys. We've been moving around in circles. Our animals are tired. We're tired. They're thirsty. This is not good. We're going to end up perishing in this wilderness. And in 2 Kings 3:11, Jehoshaphat now says to the other kings, he said, listen, guys, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And so one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. And it was after that that they went to look for Elisha, and Elisha gave them instructions. Those are the instructions where he told them to, you know, to dig ditches. dig ditches. And after they dug ditches, we are told in the account that God supernaturally provided water from a place called Edom. And the trenches and the ditches were filled, and their animals were watered, and the whole nation was watered, and the solutions came. Why? Because they inquired of the Lord. Now, if they had inquired of the Lord from the beginning, they wouldn't have had to get lost. They wouldn't have ended up in the scorching sun, miserable, confused, lost in the wilderness. And that's what happens to many of us. We don't inquire of God and we end up in a wilderness. We end up getting lost. You know, I'm sure they thought they knew better. I'm sure they were kings. Remember, after all, they were leaders. I'm sure they were like, oh, well, we're big kings. We are in leadership position. We know which way to go. We went to school. We went to university. I've been trained in this course. So I know the way to go. But they soon found out that with all their kingship, with all the servants that they were traveling with, they still got lost in the wilderness. Listen, beloved, doesn't matter how much you've been educated. It doesn't matter how much you think you know. Doesn't matter how much revelation you think you know and understanding and what training you've gotten and equipment. But listen, if you do not bother to inquire of the Lord, you will still and can still get lost in the desert, in the wilderness, and go around in circles going nowhere. So let's learn to inquire of the Lord. And what happens when you inquire of the Lord? Well, when you inquire of the Lord, it will give you focus. When you inquire of the Lord, it will take your focus off of man. Because at that time when David, one of the occasions when he was inquiring of the Lord, men wanted to stone him. So when you inquire of the Lord, it takes your focus off of men, people who may want to stone you. And it causes you now to focus on God, who wants to direct you. When you inquire of the Lord, you not only get direction, it will give you strategy. When you inquire of the Lord, he will tell you of the outcome. He will tell you, listen, you will recover. You'll recover all. So you will know the outcome from the onset. When you inquire of the Lord, it will give you hope. It will give you encouragement. Because why? Because you know the outcome. When you inquire of the Lord, you'll not waste time. You'll not waste energy like the kings who were wandering around in the wilderness for 7 days. 7 days. They could have saved time. They could have saved energy. They could have saved, you know, disappointment. And in the end of that account, they didn't even have to go to war, because their initial reason for going out was to go out to war. But if they'd inquired of the Lord, they may not even have had to go out there to get to war. When you inquire of the Lord, you will gain increase. You will gain increase. And how do we do that? Very quickly, as we close this session, prayer is one way of inquiring of the Lord. When you pray, don't just talk to God, but have time to listen and to meditate, because prayer is about speaking to God, but also listening to God. So praying is one way of inquiring. So when we pray, we speak and we listen and we meditate on what he says. Worship also is another way to inquire of the Lord. It will lead you in the presence of God, where you can begin to inquire and where he can begin to speak to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let us leave here learning to inculcate the aspect of inquiring of the Lord as one of our lifestyles. Don't be like King Saul. King Saul started off inquiring of the Lord, you know, and he would regularly inquire of the Lord, but he ended up, his end was in consulting mediums. If you read 1 Chronicles 10, verse 13 and 14, it says, "So Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance." Who are you inquiring of? Are you inquiring of sangomas? Are you inquiring of astrology, horoscopes? And verse 14 said, "But he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse." So many of us, sometimes we've started off inquiring of the Lord. We've gone off track. Some people have started consulting mediums, sangomas, astrology, horoscopes. Others are consulting motivational speakers who are speaking secular humanism instead of the word of God. Some people are consulting humanistic teachings that teaches about self and branding self. Some people are inquiring from all sorts of wrong places. But when you and I inquire of God, we will never go wrong. Some people only inquire after pastors. And let me tell you, even men and women of God, so-called fivefold ministers, they can also be wrong sometimes. But when you inquire of the Lord, and in Zephaniah, I close with this 1:6, it says, those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. So there are those who have turned back. So in other words, the scripture is saying that when you don't seek the Lord, when you don't inquire of him, it can result in your turning back from following the Lord. It can result in your backsliding. And Saul, we've seen Saul as an example. He stopped inquiring of the Lord. He ended up consulting mediums and witches. May that not be our portion. I encourage you this week to make it a lifestyle. Keep on inquiring of the Lord. When you wake up in the morning, make it a part of your devotion. When you go to sleep at night, make it a part of your devotion. Do it daily. Do it every day. Inquire of the Lord for everything, for your life, for your purpose, for your family's purpose, for your relationships. Inquire of the Lord around your finances, how you should treat your finances, around your assignments. Inquire of the Lord around the ministry that God has given you. Let's be faithful and consistent and constant in inquiring of the Lord. God bless you real good. It's been another wonderful week of sharing God's rich and transformational word. Looking forward to talking to you next week. Love you lots.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313, toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560, toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Cotton Ministries Radio Network with our corporate producer Kayla Padgett. This is the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia. Join us weekly as we embark on a journey, the power of a transformed mind. I believe you'll be blessed as you listen to this. Thank you. Listen to this.
When we got a church that we're pastoring there for, I think we're still in Kempscott, even when the degrees, self-set degrees, were 42, I used to dress up in a suit and a tie, yes. 42 degrees. And Aussies, when I see them coming to church, and I'm thinking, what's wrong with you? They're coming with thongs, they're coming with shorts, and a tattered t-shirt. You don't know whether the dog was playing with the shirt, and they're saying, they're in church. You can imagine what was going on in my head, because I'm raised under the British colony. You go to church, put on a tie, put on a suit, because that's how it works. When your mind has been shifted as a colony. Why am I saying this to you? When you come from the kingdom of darkness and you are transferred to the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness operates by its own values and belief systems. Being born again, it means you are now shifting to another kingdom. And the kingdom of God operates by its own values and systems. You can't operate, therefore, with the mindset of the old and you live in the new. Your victory is determined by the shift you have made from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. If you don't understand that, you will live a defeated Christian every time of your life, yet you are in the right kingdom. The environment is all right, but you live like a failure. The environment is all right, but you still talk like insignificant. The environment is all right, but you have not changed and shifted your mindset. In fact, the word repentance, or the word to repent, two words, re and pent, penthouse, house on top. When you come from the world of the kingdom of darkness, repentance means I'm going back to the original kingdom, which was the kingdom of God, where I was before the fall. But now I'm also elevated, which means whatever was on top of me, I am now on top of. Amen. Which means, if I'm now saying I've repented, I am now a child of God. Being child of God means I need to understand. You remember there's a verse in the scripture that says John was preaching to them, and Jesus mentioned it as well, quoted. He says, repent, all of you, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It is possible for you to be saved and see it, but not experiencing it. You are not just born again to go to heaven. You are born again for heaven to come to you. Because if you are born again and you are miserable, and you are waiting for the time by and by, when the pandemic is over and the coronavirus is over and God knows what else is coming, and you are saying, oh, I can't wait to go to heaven, that's a miserable life. Here's the life you are designed for you to be translated from this kingdom of darkness, which is really the kingdom of worry, which is really the kingdom of anxiety, which is really the kingdom of doubt, which is really the kingdom of fear, which is really the kingdom of all the attacks that are going through in your life, which is really the kingdom why you don't sleep at night, which is really the kingdom of nightmares, which, talk to me somebody. When I'm translated myself in the kingdom of God, in this kingdom, God just doesn't want me just to see it, but he wants me to taste it. He wants me to experience it. Somebody shout yes. So, we realized last week that there are a few key points that you need to get about your salvation package. It involves a mind that is renewed, because it's only a renewed mind that sees the same thing but differently. Faith in God does not say there is no tumor. Faith in God believes what the doctors have seen. They have seen a tumor on your body. But faith in God says, despite what I see, but I'm not controlled by the external. Because what's internal redefines my external. If you get that in your life as a child of God, no matter what is thrown at you, you always know where you stand as a child of God. So let's see how we go. Romans chapter 12. Let's go there now. Romans chapter 12, and let's see what verse 2 says. Now I'm going to ask us once again to read all of us in our series as we continue. Chapter 12. I'm going to ask all of us to read, and as we read, read like you believe it and allow that word to sink in your spirit. Because I believe God wants to do something in our lives this morning in Jesus' name. Let's read together from verse 2. One, two, go. And do not be
conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God.
There are a few things I want you to catch in that verse. And do not be conformed to this world. Confirmation, a good word. Don't be patterned by the systems of this world. Don't live your life according to the patterns of this world, Jesus says, or Paul rather. Don't be conformed to this world. That's the world system. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That verse is loaded there. That verse is loaded there. And I wanted to get it again as we go. I wanted to see those words as we continue together. Don't be conformed, Paul says, according to the patterns, the systems, the way the world operates. But allow transformation to take place by the renewing of your mind. He tells you how you get transformed. Transformation does not take place in your life as a believer through water baptism. Water baptism is good. But transformation does not happen by speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is good. Transformation takes place in your life by the renewing of your mind. Those again who understand, you remember, we have established this. You are a spirit. Say this with me, I'm a spirit.
I'm a spirit.
I live in a body.
I live in a body.
I have a soul.
Well,
we saw last week when I gave you the images of three people here, and realized that in your spirit, man, there is your soul in the middle, and there is your body. You contact your outside world through your body. You contact your heavenly world, which is your spiritual world, through your spirit. In the middle, there is the core of you. That core of you has your will, your emotions, your personality, and your feelings. Depending who is ruling your life, your body can detect or can dictate what you need to do with your life, controlled by the soul area, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Or your spirit man can be in charge, so that you can live a spirit-filled life, and that leads to your maturity. When you are born again, the greatest battle you need to understand is here in your mind, which is where your soul area is. And because your battle is in the mind, if you overcome how you think your life and how you have been presented with the perception that has become reality for you, you will live victoriously. Because every child of God needs to understand that growth in the kingdom is not automatic. There are things you cut off, and there are things you decide to build in with. Somebody shout yes.
Yes.
So he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. I remember a story told by a friend of mine. He talks about this story. A man was misdiagnosed for a very tragic and a painful disease in his body. And when he went to the doctor, went there with his wife and their son, when they arrived in the office of the doctor, and the doctor gave them the scanning of the x-rays that they had already received then, and said, I've got bad news. And the bad news is your husband is going to be confirmed into a wheelchair, because there is a degrading disease that is eating his muscle strength. And therefore, in about 3 months, you come back, and then we're going to recommend what type of a wheelchair that we're going to subscribe for your family. Of course, as you know, when that happens, so tears and tears and brokenheartedness. And because they were Christian people, they do oftentimes what we often do whenever we are caught up with the tragedy in our lives, and we don't understand. We ask a lot of questions, but why? Why me? Why this family? Why did God allow this? I go to church. We tithe. We are committed members. My husband had a position in the church. He was one of the big ministers and elder in the church. Why would God allow this? Comes unending. These are questions of the mind when a tragedy is affecting you. Lo and behold, gathered all the family around, started to talk to the father, and as you know, something happens when you receive what has been perceived to be truth, especially by an authority figure. Because he's a doctor, we have studied 7 years in his industry. You know, we are ready to receive whatever they are telling us. And went home and prepared the family, and after some few weeks, did not even wait for the 3 months for the degrading of the muscles. Already, he was now thinking crippled. He was thinking every dime sitting on that wheelchair. He could see himself going out by the veranda, sitting there, not being able to go to do what he wanted to do. Life was miserable, so miserable that started to show on his countenance, on his face, that everything now is going downhill. They got a wheelchair for him. 6 months down the line, he remained in that wheelchair. Something happens when it has been engineered and it has been put in your mind. Nothing in him makes him think, let me try and see if I can still stand up. Remained in that wheelchair for the whole year, 8 months to 12 months, he stayed there until they get a recall from the doctor. And the doctor apologizing profusely. That was a misdiagnosis. The file that I pulled out, I realized it was not even for you. So I'm sorry about that. You can walk. Now listen, listen, listen. It's a painful story because you would think he would have tried to stand up. He died in the wheelchair. He remained stuck in the wheelchair, even though the news said from the doctor it was a misdiagnosis. Here's my point. If it is planted and planted in your mind long enough, you will kick the truth and believe the lies.
Amen.
Huh? That is why we realize we do it all the time. You look beautiful on your top. I bought it in the Salvos. Why are you telling me you bought it in the Salvos? Why are you not saying thank you? Talk to me. I can pick on it. I can fix it after. But you get my point? We do it all the time though. Right? If somebody comes and genuinely says, I love your shirt. The first thing that comes into your mind is, I just bought it for $9 in Kmart. Did I ask that? What's going on? It is because our training is deformed. And because it's dysfunctional, we tend to kick away the truth. And we are prone to believe the lies. So you've got Christians that are born again. Though they believe the verse that says, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Think about that. Jesus said, all authority. How much?
All.
So if Jesus says, all authority, which means in heaven right now, who has all authority?
Jesus.
Right? No angels, Jesus himself. He has all authority. In case you think, oh fine, it's all about him in heaven. It says in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me in heaven, because that's where he came from. On earth, that's where he lived for 3 years. Under the earth, that's where he went and took the keys from the devil. Yeah. So when he says, all authority has been given to you, has been given to me in three worlds. Therefore, go. In other words, he's saying, I'm translating the all to you. If now you carry the all authority that Jesus had, and you have that authority, why are you magnifying the devil? When all was taken by Jesus, and that all was transferred to you. I'll help you. It's all here. Let me give you a simple one for the 21st century. 18 months ago, Ian, I saw Australians, things that I only used to see in Africa and the third world, when they queue for bread. People would not care. People would kill you for bread. I saw it here. When an insignificant, can't see with the eye, virus came. And I saw people running, not for food, for toilet paper. No, hang on. And I'll tell you why. The power of the mind. All it takes, it's one smarty pants somewhere out there. Write it, spread it enough on social media. That, oh my gosh, you need toilet paper. So, all of us, therefore, we are running for toilet paper. You don't even know why you are running for toilet paper. Somebody shout, the mind.
The mind.
Because if I work on your mind, if I work in your mind enough, the ones who are supposed to be the next premiers in this state will never be. Because if I work your mind long enough, you will believe the lies and kick the truth. I have seen intelligent people behaving like fools. Because what is planted in your mind forms and it becomes a belief and a value by which you live by. So Paul says, for you to understand the culture of the kingdom that you are in now, don't be conformed to this world. Because this world, its values told you, you are a reject. You don't have a mother. You don't have a father. Don't know where your father is. When you grew up, growing up, you are insignificant. You are a failure. You are not educated. Nobody will accept you. You are not good enough. That is planted right from young age. And when you come now to this kingdom, which is the kingdom of light, Jesus says, I will do the spirit part instantly. Salvation is instant. The moment you say, Jesus, I am sorry, I need you in my life, from that moment, you are a child of God. But the truth is, you are still here on earth. And your mind still captures the subconscious stuff that was downloaded when you were young. So it is important, therefore, that I work on this mind, and he helps me how to do it. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What that means is, a renewed mind doesn't ask, what is the will of God for my life? Because if my mind is renewed, a renewed mind can pick up what's of God, what's not of God. It says there, if you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, you will prove. So a renewed mind can prove. Am I in the will of God or am I not? Talk to me. Because if I can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, therefore, it goes to say, the more I work my mind in thinking godly thoughts or what God thinks of me, I do need to go therefore to the Bible and get my cue. Because this world of the kingdom of God versus the world of the kingdom of the world, they differ in that aspect. That in that kingdom, I am told I am not good enough. I am insignificant. I am a failure. I am a victim of abuse. And I can stay there. But if I come to this kingdom, I can see the difference. I might have been a victim of abuse there, but I am no longer there. So I can't drag the past of victimization into this world. Because otherwise I'll continue to perpetuate an ideology that is not of this kingdom. Because in this kingdom, there are values that control me. And those part of those values, Jesus showed them already. If he says, fear not, that's what it means. Because behind fear, there's anxiety. Behind fear, there's depression. Behind fear, there's worry. But then when he tells me, fear not, that means it's good for me that in this kingdom, I allow the dictates of this kingdom to run my life rather than the old lifestyle to rule my world. Amen. Somebody shout, I'm changing.
I'm changing.
Shout it again, I am changing.
I'm changing.
So, Lord, I desire to know, what is your will for my life? And God says, if you change your mind, you will change your life. If I change the way I think, I will change the way I do life. He says, I will keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind, you get it?
Yes.
Whose mind is stayed on me. I will keep him in perfect peace. God says, don't allow your mind to go anywhere where my peace is not. Because if you allow your mind to go anywhere and everywhere where the peace of God is, the result will be anxiety.
Yes.
Let me show you a story. It's a very interesting story. Because Jesus wants us to understand that perception can be reality. What do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about your destiny? What do you believe about where you are as a child of God? I gave you the five questions of the human heart, and one of them was, who are you? That's the number one question that everybody needs to ask themselves. When I'm now in this kingdom, I need to ask myself, because in that world there, you did not need to ask who you were, because they defined for you. How do I know they defined for you? That is why in this world here, you dress FUBU or Gucci or Pierre Cardin or Katushi. All those are people's names. Let's talk. They have defined you. So I look at you and I say, oh, what is that? What is that brand? Oh, it's FUBU. Oh, whoa, whoa, right? What is that handbag? It's a Louis Vuitton bag, Louis Vuitton bag. So that your class and your identity comes from the stuff, because in this world, it's all about the stuff you have. But I love this kingdom. Because in this kingdom, clothes I put on don't define me. I define them.
Amen. Thank you so much for our listeners for joining us once again. Join us next week as we continue on part two on what the Lord has given us for us. You have a fantastic week. The voice of Apostle Josh Moy from Western Australia on our SKM, Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network International, with our co-producer, Kayla Paget. God bless you.
Oops, you said that in church. Let me help you. Let me help you. Because in this world, it's about who do I have next to me.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.